True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
To me, the price doesn't matter. They got the player, and that's what's most important for the Patriots. To me, Diggs and Brandon Ayuk were the two most realistic targets for the Patriots this year as far as acquiring a top-end receiver or someone who could be. They badly need that. They have the worst receiver room in the NFL, you know, a bunch of number three and number four receivers, and it's been that way for several years now. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since Julian Edelman in 2019, so they need talent. To me, they should still try to get Travis Hunter at number four. That would be a slam dunk for them. You could have Travis Hunter and Stephon Diggs as your top two wide receivers. So they needed to get Drake May some help, and they did it.
Ben Volin, our guest from last hour on Stephon Diggs going to New England. Good morning. It's Friday morning, almost at the weekend. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. He'll be back next week. I'll be off next week. I'll be in Charlotte. Going to visit my mom, play some golf. I'm also going to an MLS soccer game. That will be my first time at the Carolina Football Stadium, the Panther Stadium. I don't know what it's called. The you have not been to that stadium, right?
Yes, I have.
No, you have. Josh Allen hasn't been to that stadium.
Ooh. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, Josh Allen.
Wait a minute.
He will this year.
He had to in preseason. They played in preseason a couple years ago.
They played here in his rookie year. The first preseason action he had, I think, was against the Panthers here, but then he was there.
They played in preseason. It was the week of the Matt Araiza stuff going on, because I remember that, and okay. It was rainy, really rainy, in the tunnel.
Was that the game he was supposed to play and didn't because it started raining?
No, I think it was in Pittsburgh, but...
Yes, you're right, Pittsburgh. I just remember there was a preseason game where he was supposed to play and then didn't because it started raining.
Bank of America Stadium.
Yeah, I'll be going to a soccer game there next weekend. So looking forward to that, too. Sal's going to Florida. League owners meetings.
At Carolina, August 26th of 2022.
Okay. So he hasn't played a regular season.
Well, he didn't play, though.
So he hasn't played.
Right.
This year, though, right? They're in Carolina this year.
Yes.
You know, I want to get to Diggs in a second here. You look at the Bills' schedule. How do you feel like this works out? They were undefeated at home last year. Hadn't lost at home all last year. And they had a couple losses on the road. This year, their home schedule versus their road schedule, all the Bills' toughest games are at home. Like, their road schedule looks pretty easy. So I wonder how that ends up shaking out in their record. Because if they're able to... them going undefeated at home is going to be unrealistic this year, I think, given the quality of the opponent. But you never know. They're going to run through their road schedule, in my opinion. The road schedule for the Bills, they have their division. And then it's Pittsburgh, who doesn't presently have a quarterback, probably Rodgers. Atlanta, Carolina, Cleveland, and Houston. That's a really easy road schedule versus the home schedule, which is... Baltimore, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Philadelphia, Tampa even isn't the easiest game in the world. Like, the Saints are their only non-division game at home where you might think, okay, yeah, they should easily take care of business there. So I don't know what that ends up meaning for the record. It might just balance out that You know, this year their road record's going to be incredible, and maybe their home record, you know, has a couple of losses mixed along the way.
Mike asked me the other day about what's the chances that the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Eagles, and the Bengals, all on the home schedule,
yep,
if any of them is a 1 o'clock Sunday game?
No, I don't think so.
It's got to be either primetime or 425, maybe a 405, right?
Yeah, there'll be a couple of 4 o'clock, 425 games in there. Mm-hmm. Kansas City always seems to be 425, right?
Yep.
But no, they're 1 o'clock home games this year. Like, you never know how it'll play out, but New Orleans, I would bet for that. And then 2 of your division games? Is that too many, though? Do I have 6? That's 5 home games that would be considered, you know, primetime or, you know, national window games, more so 425. I don't know how many Sunday 1 o'clock games you're going to be getting this year.
Right.
Fans are used to that, though, at this point. So there's New England sitting on the schedule, of course, obviously, home and away. Ben, talking about Diggs there, he sounds like the expectation is that Diggs is going to be their number one and that he's going to come in and be super meaningful for Drake May. I don't know. He had awesome separation numbers last year, but he did it in the slot. There's actually numbers you could look at that he never saw press coverage because he never was on the outside to see press coverage. And then he tore his ACL. And he already looked like a little bit of a declining player. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how you view his addition there, Sal, like how meaningful it will be. I think it's meaningful, but I kind of see him, I said this earlier in the week, I see him more as the Cole Beasley ad for Drake May, the safe, secure, underneath, middle of the field guy, more than I see him as what Diggs was for Allen, the first go round for a young quarterback and Diggs. So I think he'll be good there, but like to me, he talks about Travis Hunter. That's the move I would still be more obsessed with. I don't feel like I have a premier number one receiver yet if I'm New England. I got a guy, a professional receiver, and they had trouble doing that even. But if I want this young quarterback to have every tool he needs to take the next big step, they are still missing a premier number one receiver.
Yeah, you're talking about the Patriots.
Yes, in May.
When Ben was talking about Diggs and being, he said, if they get Travis Hunter, they would be your top two receivers.
Yeah.
That's telling you right there, they view Stephon Diggs as clearly their number one, at least from his perspective. And if you look at their roster, I get it, but what does that look like? As Stephon Diggs is your true number one right now at his age coming off that injury.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you want to do better than that. Last year before the injury, he was much more efficient first half of last year with Houston than he was in the second half of the year prior with the Bills. What was he in Houston? He wasn't the number one.
No, and he was Nico in a good Collins. Role in Houston.
Yeah.
That was a good role for him. And he was catching the ball and putting up some decent numbers. But yeah, I don't know how you can expect him to be a true number one like he was in Buffalo in 2021, 22. Yeah. And just to me, it doesn't fit like that.
So what is New England then to you right now? Most, I think, would feel about them that they're on their way to being the biggest threat to the Bills in the division.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of threat is that this year? It's not. Like, the Bills are the biggest favorite to win their division in the league right now. By the odds, they are the biggest betting favorite to win their own division.
And I understand why, and they should be.
Because New England, even improving a lot from last year, is doing what? Going from 4 wins to
8 at the most?
Yeah, not competing with the Bills.
I think they might be the second best team in the division, though. And what does that say about the Dolphins and Jets?
Yeah. Well, it says the Jets are at Justin Fields at quarterback, and Miami's at the end.
I think so.
I think Miami's at the end of their window.
But they don't think they are, which is the worst spot to be in.
I wonder.
You are at the end, but your organization kind of doesn't believe. Because right. If they believe that, they wouldn't have Tyreek Hill on their roster making like $24 million on a cap hit, whatever it is.
Right. So New England at least is tracking up. Do you feel like they have made the right moves, though, for maybe not this year is the year they're competing with the Bills, but within 2 years, 3 years?
I think they're the right coach. They obviously have a lot of money. They're going out and spending it. questions about if they spent it on the right players. You could see some different sites that say, well, they overspent here and overspent there. But that's what you do when you have a lot of money and you're bad and you're trying to reset. And so I understand that. But the thing that I come back to with them is they have the quarterback. They have the quarterback. I like him. He's a young, good quarterback. And they have a good coach who's won in this league. Mm-hmm. I think he'll put together a good defense. Yeah, I mean, like even a guy like Harold Landry, who wasn't that great in Tennessee last year, right. He was really good under Mike Vrabel, right? Mm-hmm. So he'll figure out how to do this. But I don't know what that's – I don't know how they're going to score a ton of points, enough points.
Right.
And they're going to have to play close games, not a lot of margin for error. But if you make mistakes, they'll capitalize because I think they'll be more buttoned up than they have been, and you're probably looking again at a team that might be able to creep towards 500.
Right. And at the end of the day, it all really just comes down to – What's Drake May going to be? Because, like, Miami's been a headache, you know, mm-hmm. to some extent. Not when they've played head-to-head, but in the standings, they've been a headache. They have a good quarterback. Tua is good. And they built an offense around him that works. And what did it get them to? They made the playoffs a couple of times. They never won the division, though. Throughout this whole window here, they have not won the division. They had a 4-game lead at one point, didn't they? Or was it a 3-game lead when they lost to the Titans and lost to the Bills in Week 18? They had a multi-game lead in December and didn't close the deal and didn't win the division. And now they probably never will with this current window they have right now, Tyreek Hill and the rest. But Tua was only, like in my eyes at least, Tua was only pretty good. Tua didn't have that extra gear, that extra ceiling that they probably needed to be on the same playing field with the Bills. And May, I wonder what that ceiling is for him. If he is going to be at 6'4", 225, and a great athlete, if he's going to be one of the top-tier quarterbacks in the league, then you can really get to, all right, well, now we got a real, real rivalry here, mm-hmm. a real battle year to year. But it's all going to come down to what does May become. And to your point about Vrabel, I do think they are making the right hires and acquisitions to get him to that level. You know, they're kind of going along the Bills' trajectory, where Allen comes in, he flashes some athleticism, and then what was that next year about? It was about, well, let me build up the line a little bit and let me get him some professional receivers. The Bills did Beasley and Brown before they did the Diggs move. But it was about, we got to make sure Allen's got everything he needs to take his next steps. And that is what the phase New England's in. Every move they make to me is just about, they got to maximize Drake May. Because the only way they're ever a real challenger to the Bills is that guy's got to become one of the best quarterbacks in football. And he might have the talent to do it, but he's got to actually do it. And his organization needs to surround him with the right pieces to do it.
And right now, what are they missing? The two most important things that every young quarterback needs. A number one receiver.
And a left tackle.
And a left tackle.
Yeah. And I don't see...
Those are the two glaring issues on offense.
Right. And I don't see how they're going to do that this offseason. There's Brandon Ayuk smoke again. I think the Niners want to trade him by Tuesday. He's got a big bonus coming on Tuesday. And you're seeing reports like bi-weekly now that, oh, they want to trade Ayuk, or they would trade Ayuk. I mean, you could do that if you're New England. Ben even told us, like said an hour ago, they were in on that a year ago. But he's coming off a torn ACL too.
Mm-hmm.
Two receivers off torn ACLs. So you're like number one receiver, Mac Collins might be their number one perimeter receiver right now. And then the line, that's the other thing. The line, look what it's done for Allen. I mean, the Bills have a great offensive line right now, and how much easier things can be when you have that. May was running for his life a lot last year, and he flashed the athleticism to kind of get away from that, but you got to be able to hang in the pocket and make throws. And they did a couple of things. Garrett Bradbury on the line. That group and then number one receiver are still definitely missing components before I would ever say they're challenging for a division. So for now, I don't feel like the Bills have a challenger.
I agree. And I know that anything can change. Obviously, to me, what's the pathway for any of these teams to actually challenge the Bills this year? The only pathway is for the Bills to have bad injuries mm-hmm. or just a really rough year in some capacity that we don't see.
Right.
I don't think it's them. Like, can you see suddenly the Dolphins having a 12-win season and lighting it up? I can't, just based on their roster. Can you say that with the Jets?
No.
Can you see that with the Patriots?
Almost definitely not.
The only way would be the Bills.
They'd have to have like a Jaden Daniels level season.
The only way would be for the Bills to fall back to them.
Right.
And the winner of the division has 10 wins, let's say.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right?
I definitely, yeah, it is. It's more about the Bills falling than it is about any of the other three having the ability to rise to their, I mean, especially Miami doesn't have that in them, right? We've seen their ceiling.
Yes.
And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It can make the playoffs. But their ceiling also includes, that's why their whole build was just kind of faulty. Their quarterback has played 5-6 years in the NFL. He's made it through one season healthy.
And they get
play the odds there. He's probably going to miss 3-4 games this year. And what do they look like when he misses? They can't win.
And then they get to November, and it's tough for them to win because of the way they play football, and they're not built for that type of football. December, and playoffs.
That's probably the bigger point. The bigger point, even than Tua missing a few games, is they look the same every year when it gets to November.
I mean, look, and Mike McDaniel is a really smart offensive coach. I think he is a great example of you can be the smartest coordinator and scheme everything up. It doesn't mean you're going to translate that to being a really good head coach. I mean, I really like Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
I have no idea if he's going to be a good head coach.
Right.
But he certainly can coach the hell out of offense.
Yeah. You think McDaniel's done if they miss this year?
I think he might be. I think Chris Greer is almost definitely done if they miss.
I saw the other day. How long has he been there? He's been there for, because he precedes McDaniel.
He's had like three coaches now that he's hired, right?
Yeah, Flores is him.
Yep.
McDaniel is him. Does he go back to, who's before Flores?
Who's before that?
He's been their general manager since 2016.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He's a longer tenure GM than Brandon Bean is. And he hasn't won a playoff game.
So he was hired in 2016?
Brother of Mike.
He hires Adam Gase. Or maybe Gase preceded him, but they started the same year.
Yikes.
And then Flores and then McDaniel.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Daniel.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think I wonder if McDaniel gets fired if they just lose in the playoffs. Like they have the same season they always do, where they start hot and they squeak in at the end and they're a 7 seed in the playoffs and they get smoked in round one.
You know they have the longest playoff win drought in the NFL.
Yes. Me and Nate looked at this the other day. 2000?
2000.
Yeah.
Last time they won a playoff game was 2000, so it's been 24 years. 25 going on. I would think if you had to put money on what happens first, the Jets make the playoffs or the Dolphins win a playoff game, you probably lean Dolphins because of where the Jets are.
Yeah.
Or would you not? What happens first?
What happens first? I do kind of like Aaron Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
But how long does that take him to kind of get everything in order there?
Bullpen, what happens first? The Jets make the playoffs or the Dolphins win a playoff game? Oh, that's the bullpen.
I think I'd say Jets make the playoffs. The Dolphins are not winning a playoff game anytime soon.
Mm.
And it's not just the coach. You know, like, if New England indeed is the second best team in the division this year, and Miami misses the playoffs, and like it kind of feels like it's over there for McDaniel, it's not just McDaniel. This is the end of the Tyreek Hill era. I thought it would be over already, the way he sounded after the final game of the year. He quit on the team. Remember the Hard Knocks clip of Waddle looking back at the sidelines like, yo, you done? He's like, yeah, I'm out. He pulled himself out of the game. The starters weren't pulled.
I'm stunned he's still on the team. I agree. I mean, after everything that happened, I thought it was that was it.
And then after that, in post-game, he's like, yeah, I've enjoyed my time here. Like, he basically announced his departure from the Dolphins, and he's just going to stay there. But even if, okay, he's going to go another year. He's 31 years old, and he just came off a giant decline from 1,800 yards to 959. Didn't miss a game. Played the whole season. Something happened. Did he lose a step? If not, I mean,
did you read the article by Armando Salguero about him?
About Hill? No.
Oh, it was great. I had Armando on the day it dropped. Like, he literally writes it. I'm like, dude, you got to come on and talk about it.
I think I saw pieces from
it. It was great. He's basically like, you got to get rid of this guy now. Like, now's the time. You have to trade him.
Yeah.
And he went through all these reasons, which was interesting. Tua's a good point because you just don't know. He's such a wild card. And yes, I think that what you said is exactly right. He's the only quarterback that works for that offense that they have.
Yeah.
You can't miss him. He has to stay healthy. And if he does,
and his
history is he probably won't, but he has to, no matter what. We've seen that before. Then it comes to the Jets. I heard you and Nate talking about Justin Fields and whether or not signing Fields takes them totally out of the quarterback conversation.
Yeah.
It's an interesting conversation because I don't think it does, but I also don't know if there's anyone that rises to that. Here's what I think happens for the Jets.
You think it does in round one?
No. I think the Jets draft a quarterback in day two.
Okay.
And honestly, like, I have a cousin who's a big Jets fan.
Yeah.
He keeps asking me about Kyle McCord, right? Like, this is the kind of guy. And you look at a guy like that and say, okay, he might be okay in the NFL. But if you don't love him enough in the first round, how much of a game changer is he, right? But maybe there are second round picks that become. Russell Wilson was a second round pick, right?
I think.
Third round pick. Sorry. Yeah. Kirk Cousins was second, I think.
No, Cousins was fifth.
What was he? Jeez, what am I doing here?
Who are you thinking of that was a second?
I don't know. Who was second that year?
Who was a second round pick? Derek Carr was a second round pick.
Yeah. My apologies. Early morning on Friday. No, but you're right. But here's the deal. Yeah. You can. I think the Jets are going with Justin Fields for a year. The way the contract is structured, they can get out of it after a year, but they can also keep him around if they like him.
Right.
And then you draft a guy on day two and say, let's see where it goes.
Yeah. I think it probably takes them out of quarterback
Cousins,
at seven.
Fourth round pick, Kelvin Shepard. I don't think that's the real Kelvin Shepard in the chat, but thank you, Kelvin, for letting us know. J.J. Paterka was a second round pick. That's a great one.
Jalen Hurts was a second round
pick. You guys are great. I love it.
Jalen Hurts was a second round pick. I'm looking at draft history right now for quarterbacks. There was a long time where none of these second round guys were. Christian Hackenberg, for instance.
Yeah.
DeShone Kizer. You had some bad ones in that round. But McCord's interesting, too, because he is a very different style than Justin Fields. I thought you were going to say Jalen Milroe.
It would be amazing if it was the new defensive coordinator of the Lions, Kelvin Shepard, in our chat talking about the Buffalo Bills. That would be absolutely
wild.
Awesome.
That would be wild.
Thank you, Kelvin, for coming in.
I think that it takes them out of drafting round one quarterback. I kind of like Milroe there.
The latest on Milroe is apparently the Steelers love him.
Yeah. That keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the debate of, do they love him as a day two guy? Or there's even some that, like, do they love him enough to draft him at the end of round one?
I mean, doesn't some of this depend on Rodgers?
Maybe it
you're
doesn't.
Not drafting a quarterback in round one if you get Rodgers, right? I mean, are your assets better spent? Maybe. Yes, you could make the argument you only have Rodgers for a year anyway, right? So go ahead and do it.
Is that the holdup right now?
I guess.
What
I don't
is
know.
The holdup? I mean, it's probably Rodgers, right? Just being Aaron Rodgers is the holdup. Or maybe the Steelers are telling him, we love you for a year and we're not going to start a rookie, but we might draft a quarterback. Like, we're not, you got to know there's going to be a first round rookie behind you if you're coming in here. That could be.
I know you like to, I'm talking with a guy here co-hosting with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, who loves to bang on the Steelers whenever he gets a chance.
Number one Tomlin hater, probably. In.
All right, so have they completely botched their quarterback situation?
This offseason?
Yeah.
botched. I don't think there was a lot to botch in the first place, if that makes sense. But kinda, yeah. Tomlin kind of, I don't even know that I hated the move when he made it. And again, I don't know what the downside is. If you go from Russell Wilson to Aaron Rodgers, you might even think you're improving a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But by handling the quarterback situation the way he did last year, I think he alienated both quarterbacks. There's maybe to do his different issues, though. Fields, is he still their quarterback if he never turns to Russell Wilson? I bet he is. They just said Fields is playing good. He's winning games. We're gonna stick with him.
Do you know why? Because Justin Fields, part of the reason he left is because he felt that he was, I guess, disrespected by how they treated him after he played so well.
And Wilson, I guess it was another thing where he and Arthur Smith had a battle about, you know, him having the ability to change plays, the line of scrimmage and whatnot. So they maybe kind of annoyed both guys enough to the end where they wanted to leave. So did they botch it, though? Because if they sign Rodgers, to me, they kind of are going to have the same level of quarterbacking, which is, all right, guy's pretty good. He's not, I mean, in Wilson's case, it's similar. He's not as good as he used to be. So to me, the botching is that they never have the top draft pick to go get a guy. But maybe that happens. I've said this about Pittsburgh. I think there is a year coming where it's going to bottom out. I don't know if it's this year, especially if Rodgers is the quarterback, but if he doesn't go there and Mason Rudolph is suddenly the quarterback, then I'm much more open to it being this season. 803-0550 is the phone number. Heading into the weekend, we'll check in on the bullpen when we come back, see what they've got going on in here. They're talking about the division and Sal's question about what happens first. The Jets make the playoffs or the Dolphins win a playoff game?
I've been wanting to have a good conversation with you about Ovechkin and Gretzky.
Let's do that, too.
Can we do that?
Yeah, because actually, you know, interestingly enough, coincidentally, I should say, I'm going to be in D.C. on Sunday when the Sabres play the Capitals, but I think there is a 0% chance that he'll score.
Are you going to the game?
No.
Oh, okay.
Unless...
No, he needs
what
six
would he
goals.
Have to have?
He needs six.
It's still six? Okay, yeah.
We need it in that game. That's not going to happen.
He has one more game in between? No more games?
That's his next game is against the Sabres.
All right, yeah, I'm probably not going.
Yeah.
If I'm in D.C., I'm not going to go to a Sabre game.
Why? I'm going to see the
not
Sabres
now.
At the Lightning
if the game was
in 2 weeks,
meaningful.
That's all right. It's still...
It's cherry blossom season. I want to spend my time checking out the cherry blossom museums and whatnot. 803-0550 is the phone number. Wayne Gretzky and Ovechkin, you got a thought on our Jets-Dolphins question. You can get that in, too. Stay tuned. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio here on WGR.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.